years have been just wonderful years. I wish I could stand and tell you that every day had been a joyful day. And everything that had occurred in the last 45 years in the ministry of this church had been things that, was always pleasant. But it has not been. But I can tell you this. This is the finest, as far as I'm concerned, the finest congregation of people on planet Earth. Now, if you're a pastor, you feel that way about your church. If you don't, you ought to resign. But these are the finest people on this planet. They have loved Catherine and I. They have stood with us through problems and difficulties. They have prayed for my family and loved my family and stood with my family. They have forgiven me where I have failed and how I have at times made wrong decisions in this ministry. But they understood that I was human. And you folks have prayed for me and encouraged me. In this congregation this morning are some men. I don't have any families. I don't have any brothers left living. There was 10 in our family. I don't have any sisters living. But there are men sitting on these pews this morning that my brothers who love me so dearly could not have been any better to me than these men have been. And I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you ladies for loving Catherine and I and for being my sisters in Christ and for supporting this ministry and this work. I want to point behind me this morning to Brother Tommy Foskey. When Brother Tom and Miss Deb, I hope it'll be all right if I refer to her as Miss Deb and Brother Tommy. When they came to work on the staff of this church, they had just graduated from college. And they came, and he has been here now 39 years. And no preacher could have had a better youth pastor to begin with, and then for many years an assistant pastor, and then the last 2.5 years, he has been the co-pastor of this church. And I'm happy today to be able to call him my pastor. I know his life. I know his spirit. If I could choose, if I could give God a description for a second son, if I could have a second son, it would be Tommy Foskey. Now, you know that I love him. And if you want to get on the ill side of a Brother Don, you criticize my preacher. He's my pastor. I love him. And I've already asked God to do this. And if he ever deviates, and he won't, but if he ever gets off course and leaves this Bible and should decide that he wants things a little different. I don't mean everything's going to be like I've done it. Don't get that out of your head. He's going to do things different. He's going to handle things different, but he'll handle them right. But I've asked the Lord if that, and it won't. But in case it did, I've really prayed merciful to God about this. I've told God to kill him. I love you, Tommy. I love you. So, this church has got a great, rich history. My predecessor was Brother Gordon Pittard. Gordon Pittard pastored this church 11 years. I came following him, and Gordon Pittard lived within 1.5 miles of the old location all the years that we were there. About 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Brother Pittard went to heaven to be with the Lord. And I was honored that his family asked me to have a little part in his funeral. But in all those years that I pastored this church and Brother Gordon Pittard lived within a mile or mile and a half of this church, not one time did he ever speak a derogatory word against me trying to lead this church and to be the pastor of this church and to do what I believe God wanted done at this church. He was always supportive, and he was always an encouragement to me. And that's how I plan to be to Brother Foskey. Now, I'm not going to be around. I hope this is right. This past Wednesday night, I believe y'all voted that I'm to be the pastor emeritus for life. Now, that means that I don't have any authority. That means that I just have a vote like one member in this church. That means that it's an honorary position. And I'm honored that you would do that. I'm not going to be around much the first few months. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to visit and preach. I think I've got 9 sermons I got to preach within the next about the next month and a half. And I'm hoping that God will keep me busy every Sunday. My wife's praying that he won't. But I'm praying that he will. And I want to honor the Lord. I don't really want to preach this morning. I just want to share some scripture and talk to you from my heart. The greatest joy of my life has been knowing Jesus Christ. What a Savior. And I'm so humble that God would call me to be a preacher. Now, I didn't volunteer to begin with when I was called to preach. Someone said, I don't believe that God calls people. I don't believe that God calls men. I don't believe that God separates men and calls them and gives them the anointing to be a preacher. Well, if you've ever called, you'd believe that. I can take you to the place in the little church. When I was a teenage boy, I had not known the Lord very long. And I can take you to the place, stand in the altar of the church in a revival meeting, where God made it so clear to me that he had called me to be a preacher. I did not hear an audible voice. I didn't have chills run up and down my back. But God spoke to my heart. You say, well, does God speak to people's heart? If God's ever spoken to you, you know it. God speaks to our spirit, our will. He uses the word and he speaks to us. And I remember the day that God called me to be a preacher. 61 years ago, I preached my first message. I remember I turned and looked out the side door of the country church. And there was a large cemetery there. I looked over that cemetery. It looked so dead. It was dead. And it seemed as though in my spirit God said to me, that's the condition the world is in. The world is dead in trespasses and sin. And I want you to go and preach the gospel. I want you to preach the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is. And we do wrong. We make a great mistake when we abandon the gospel and preach anything else. I don't mean that you ought not preach on creation, but you can preach the gospel from creation. Sure. Let's give an example of it. The Bible said that the earth was void and without form, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. A person who's without Christ is dead in trespasses and sin. They're void, they're empty. And the Spirit of God must move upon that sinner in order for that sinner to come to Jesus and trust him as Savior. I say to you, the gospel is what we need today. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I believe it's the responsibility of every Bible-believing church to get the gospel to the world. Your job has always been, and it will always be, first honoring Christ and then getting the gospel to every person that you possibly can. I hope this church will never have to drop one missionary out of almost 200 that we have a part in supporting, this church has a part in. In fact, I hope you can add to those missionaries. And I hope this church will always be known, and I believe it will be, as an old-fashioned, old-time, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-exalting, Holy Spirit-led Baptist church. And I want to say this. I have friends here today. In fact, one of my dearest friends is sitting, and I look back and saw him, and Brother John Sparks. Brother Sparks, you left your church to be here today. And you're not a Baptist. I know that. But you're a saved man. But I'd say to Brother Sparks and the others, I am a Baptist, and I make no apology for being a Baptist. And this is a Baptist church. It was a Baptist church when I was called here. And it's a Baptist church when I'm leaving in retirement. And I hope it'll be a Baptist church when Jesus comes back. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I thank God for our heritage and what God has done. And I look over this congregation and I see so many people that has invested far more in my life than I really have in yours. I wish that Mrs. Hicks could have been here today. She's not able. I don't think she's here. Is Mrs. Hicks here? I don't think she is. My first secretary. She's very limited in how she can get around now. She was my secretary for 23 years. And she was such a blessing, such a help. And then Mrs. Dietz is here. Miss Sandy was my secretary 13 years. I believe that's right. 14 years. And I thank the Lord for her. Walt, your husband, was one of my dearest friends. And it's good to have you all the way from Maryland, right? All the way from Maryland here today. I appreciate her being here. And I could just go on and on. Others, it's been such a blessing to me. Let me just share with you the scripture that I want to pray, and we're going to go ahead with whatever the activities are for today. Christ is the object of the believer's faith in everything we do. He's the object of our faith. What we do for Christ must be by faith. Must be. Listen to this. This is what the greatest evangelist who ever lived, with the exception of Jesus, had to say. His name was the Apostle Paul. He's one of my heroes in the Bible. This is what he said. He was talking about his religious heritage. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was stooped in Judaism. Oh, he was a follower of the law, and as far as many of the laws, he was blameless. But I want you to listen to what he said. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but trash or dung, that I may win or I may please Jesus Christ. What Paul was saying was that his life, the only purpose for the existence of his life was Jesus Christ. He had come to the place in his life that he had so committed and so yielded his life that he could say in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, for me to live is Christ. Then he said, to die is gain. We'd all agree with that. But to make the statement, for me to live is Christ, that is a potent and powerful statement. What does that mean? That means that he was striving to reach the place and perhaps reach that place. That every moment of the day, his passion was to please Christ and be like Christ. For me to live is Christ. It's not Paul living after the flesh. Not Paul living according to his will. Not Paul living according perhaps to the things that if he had listened to his flesh and his carnal mind, perhaps he would have been involved in something else. But he said, for me to live is Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. Someone said to me the other day, Brother Richards, you're just starting a brand new chapter in your book of life, the book of your life. And I said to that person, well, I understand, but the problem is the chapters are getting short. They're getting short. And I want to tell you what is on my mind. Someone said, what are you going to do? You're going to travel? If I do very much traveling, it'll be with an attempt to go somewhere and preach the gospel. I've got a lot of places that I could preach, but I'm not physically able. I've got invitations in a number of places that I could share the gospel. This quartet that sang, they went with me on a trip to Puerto Rico to be in a conference. And they went down twice, in fact, on two trips to sing. And one of the men at that time who was a member of our church, a preacher who was a member of our church, and he's in heaven now. He was a good man. And he's in heaven. And he could fly anywhere in the world, and it wouldn't cost him anything because of his son's relationship with the airlines. So he said, do you think it'd be all right if I could come down? So I'd like to meet some of those preachers down in the islands, and I'd like to go down there. So you think it'd be all right if I went? And I said, well, sure, you're well. But he said, well, what about me a place to stay? And I said, well, you'll have to do like I'll do. I'm going to be staying in someone's home. And the pastor of the church had invited me to stay in his home. And I said, I'll see to it that you have a place to stay and a home. And he said, all right, said, I'm going to come down. So I didn't tell him this. I was staying in the pastor's home. And the pastor's house was air-conditioned. In fact, I had a private, personal air-conditioned in the room where I sleep. And they put this brother in the home of one of the members in the church. And the problem was they didn't have any hot water and didn't have any air conditioning. So he let me know that a time or two during the week. So one evening, the pastor's wife invited all the guest speakers and the guests from America, along with the quartet, to come over and have a meal at her home. So we went over, and he said, where are you sleeping? He said, where's your room? And I said, it's down that hallway there. He said, can I see it? So we went back to the room, and he said, boy, this is a big room, isn't it? He said, this is a large room, and it's got a private air conditioner. And he said, boy, that's a big bed. So that bed's big enough for two people, isn't it? I didn't answer him. I didn't say a word. Well, the word got around about what he had said. So one night, the quartet, after the service, was over at the pastor's house. This quartet that you heard this morning. The quartet said, Brother Don, would you come back to your room a moment? Said, we want to ask you something. So I go down the hall, and I walk into the room where the quartet is at, in my room, and sitting on my bed was all four of those men. And they begin to sing, there's room in the bed for two. There's room in the bed for two. And they put that on, they may have it today. I hope they don't. Do you have, you don't have that, do you?
They may show it downstairs.
Okay. They made a video of it. And they dedicated that to me. But I appreciate all that's been done. I appreciate the kindness of this church. I appreciate you having this day just to kindly put emphasis on Miss Catherine and myself. Thank you for doing that. You're wonderful people. To all of you that came, thank you for being here. I want you to just let me read these words that I want to pray. Listen to this. Paul, in a Roman prison, whether or not he was in Rome two different times, it's really immature. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have any bearing on anything. But I think Paul was probably just a few months from being executed. And here he is in a prison. And I ask the question, Paul, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What are your plans? Don't you listen to what he said. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Did you know that you are called to suffer as a believer? You're called to suffer. You say, Brother Don, I didn't know that. Well, you're called to suffer for the Lord. Listen to this. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him and perhaps... I wish I could relate this to some of the ministers that I listen to today that tell you if you're sick, it's of the devil. If you got cancer, the devil put it on you. And it's not God's will for you to be sick. And it's not God's will for people to have problems. And it's not God's will for you to be just be medium in your finances. That's not right. It's wrong. It's wrong to preach that. It's wrong to put that in sweet people's minds. But listen to this. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Paul, what's on your mind? You're in prison at Rome. What are you thinking about? Listen to this. He said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What was he talking about? He was talking about knowing that power in his life. He was talking about knowing Christ in a greater way. He was talking about the reality of being able to say, for me to live is Christ. I want to serve him. I want to please him. I want to suffer for him. I want to do what he wants me to do. And then he said, not as though I had already attained. Oh, he hadn't attained it. He had not reached a place to which he was striving to reach. Not for his salvation. Can I tell you something? I'm as sure to go to heaven as if I was already there. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. He wasn't talking about that. But he was talking about that place of being able to say, for me to live is Christ. Christ is it. And he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, what an acknowledgement. Listen to this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a aspiration. What an aspiration. Paul was striving and pressing forward to honor Jesus and make Jesus greater in his life and make Jesus more real in his life. That was his aspiration. That was his desire. That was his goal. And I want to encourage you today, put your eyes on Jesus. Love him. Serve him. Honor him. Be faithful. Be consistent. Stay with him. Walk with him. And be what God wants you to be here in this world. And I promise you that some wonderful day, you'll not regret it. You'll not be sorry of it. Thank you again for praying for me and Catherine these many years. And thank you for giving me the joy of being your pastor. Dr. Wade, Thurman Wade, I've said this to your back, and I want to say it to your face. You're one of the greatest friends, dearest friends that I have ever had in this life. And I respect you and honor you, and I thank you for loving Jesus and serving him. Thank you for being here. I know physically you don't feel like being here, but I want to thank you for being here. Dr. Davis, I want to thank you for being here. He's the administrative dean of Baptist Institute of America. Dr. Davis, you are a blessing. Thank you for loving the Lord all of these years. Brother Talbert Moore, thank you. Tob, we go back probably further than any other preacher in this room today. I remember Brother Moore was preaching at the second and we need meetings like this that I'm about to tell you about. Brother Moore was preaching at the Second Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia. I was just a young preacher. And Brother Moore had just came home from Cuba. He'd been to Cuba on a trip, and he was preaching. He was physically drained. But I'm telling you, if I have ever heard a preacher preach with the anointing of God, God anointed you that night, Brother Moore. You had your white handkerchief out. You was waving your handkerchief. And there was a man sitting in the building was packed. There was a man sitting in the back of the church, and Brother Moore was preaching. He didn't even know the man. And Brother Moore came out of the pulpit and walked down the aisle and laid his hand on that man's shoulder, and the man fell around his neck and came down the aisle, and the man got saved. He and his wife got into the Second Baptist Church. They became pillars in that church. Let me tell you something. There's no substitute for the power and the presence of Almighty God. And I need it. You need it. As a whole, this church needs it. We must have it. And I pray that God will bless you and continue to use this church and use all of you. I could just go on calling names. Wayne Gables, so good to see you. Did I marry you and your wife? How many years ago? I knew it was. They live in Jasper now, Jasper, Georgia. I was their pastor in Canton, Georgia for many years. Somebody else came to me, came to me and said, I married them 35 years ago. Somebody sent me a note and said, you married me 49 years ago. I didn't know I had that many enemies. I'm telling you, it was frightening. God bless you. God bless all of you. Thank you for being here. Brother Healan, Ronnie Healan, where are you? Brother Ronnie, Thank you for leaving your pulpit. And Brother Stansel, who are you? Brother Lloyd Stansel, who are you? I'm sorry. Brother Lloyd, thank you for leaving your pulpit and coming here today. You and your precious wife, thank you for coming. What a blessing. What a day. Well, God bless you. And take care. And we'll have a meeting similar to this someday in heaven, hopefully, okay? What a day. What a day that'll be. Okay. Brother Foskey, if you just... I need to do this. I need to do this. I want you to stand to your feet. I promise you it'll only be one verse of a song. Brother Darrell, I want you to get a song, if you will. If you're in this building and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to say to you, you need Jesus. And He wants to be your Savior. And He will be your Savior. I want to ask you, would you come and trust Christ today? Would you make certain that your faith is in Him? Some of you are probably here and perhaps never been baptized. You've made a profession of faith in Christ. You've never been baptized. You ought to do that. Some of you may want to come and join this church by letter. I think we have a precious missionary and his wife coming down the aisle. Brother Fossey is going to meet them. They're coming to join this church. There may be others here that needs to come and join this church. But if you're here and you're not saved, or you're saved but you've never been baptized, and you would like to be baptized, I want to invite you to come forward. If you'll come and trust Christ, I want to invite you to come forward. Brother Wade, begin singing, and we'll ask God to have His way, okay? Slip your hand up. We've been friends, well, close to, 55, 60 years, I guess. What a friend. You don't mind me telling about being down in South Georgia, do you? Deer quail hunting. Brother Lamar and I were quail hunting. And a guy that was with us was one of our deacons, and they had a friend that was a businessman in Canton, and there's four of us hunting. One of those men said to me, Brother Don, Lamar Wheeler doesn't really have assurance that he's saved. He says he's not saved. He's not saved. And he said, let me stay here and talk to the deacon, and you go up and talk to him in the motel room. And I went up to his motel room, and we sat there and talked. And I just shared what a three-year-old could have done. I shared the gospel with Lamar. And I told him, I said, that's how you're saved. You trust Jesus. You believe He died for you, and you receive what He did into your heart. And you trust that to take you to heaven. And he looked at me and said, preacher, I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that. And I want it with all of my heart, I want Him to be my Savior. We bowed beside the coffee table in that motel room and prayed. And we got home, and he called me and said, Brother Don, will you baptize me? I said, Lamar, you can't join Carmen Church and be baptized. I said, now I could baptize you, and you could go join a church up in Cumming, Georgia, but you can't drive that far Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I wouldn't expect you to do that. And I said, why don't you let me call a preacher? And why don't you let me tell him to come over to your house and talk to you? And you can get baptized. He said, okay. I called J.B. Jordan. And I called J.B. on the phone, and I said, J.B., one of the best men I've ever known, one of my dearest friends, is saved. and he wants to be baptized. And if you'll go over there today, you can baptize him in the morning. And he said, I'm on my way right now. And he went over to make the story short, talked to Lamar, and Lamar went the next Sunday morning and got baptized. And he's been at it ever since, brother. Brother Moore. That's been many, many, many years. And I could just go on and on. God is so good, such a wonderful God. So many. I just, downstairs we'll talk, okay? All right, Brother Foskey, you come, my brother.
We have a precious family that is joining our church today. Brother Gary Rowland is a missionary to Vietnam. His wife is On. They both have been saved. They both have been baptized. Brother Gary is coming by letter from the Belmont Hills Baptist Church in Conyers, Georgia. And On is coming by statement. She was baptized by immersion. I talked to her about that last week in Vietnam. And so we don't exactly know how to write for that letter. So she's coming by statement. If you're in favor of Gary and On coming and joining our church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then they've got a little one that hasn't met the Lord yet, but one of these days we'll have the privilege of announcing that. And in just a little bit, I want you to pray for Gary. Brother Gary has cancer. He is... He's having to go through treatments right now, 14 days. He's got to go in a row. He's just finished the first five or six, and some of our folks, I think, are going to try to help transport him this week as well. He is not able to drive anymore. His wife doesn't drive, and so they live right over here off of Rosebud. So you pray for the Rowland family. The Lord needs to intervene if it's his will. And I would ask that you pray for them, and let's bear them up before the Lord, okay? All right, now, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but on the Gwinnett Daily Post website today, front page,